Good evening, everybody. Hannah Stanley with you. What an exciting White Sox game that was. That was really... I was listening to it on the way in. My favorite part was when they were making references to Blue Bayou by Linda Ronstadt.
That was Blue Bayou. And then not the right tune.
So no. Then I'm singing in my brain what I believe is the right tune. And then I got here and there were like five of us trying to sing our versions of the right tune. Anyway, at some point maybe we'll play Blue Bayou. Blue Bayou. God, that I did. Like, I hit
now
that.
You're saying it like
I hit
it.
Those syllables incorrectly. So big show tonight. We actually thought we were going to get it a little bit earlier. So now we've got 3 hours of show jammed into two. But that's okay because we like robust programming. So what we are going to do tonight? Let me preview a couple of guests coming up, and then we'll get to Justin, who's already in studio with me because he's punctual.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks for being here.
That's Vivian.
My pleasure.
That's Vivian, who's producing me tonight, and it's punctual because I'm going to mispronounce all the words tonight. No, so the last area, the last part of the show, we have Johnny Immerman coming in. You guys might know him from Immerman Angels, which is one-on-one cancer support, the organization that he founded to help other people, cancer fighters, be paired one-on-one with cancer survivors of the exact same cancer. And for more information, you can go to immermanangels.org. However, he's coming in for a whole new venture because you can't just like make the cancer world better. Now he's got to reinvent, and this new venture called Close Talk, where he's helping other nonprofits really market themselves better by essentially sort of crowdsourcing the purchasing of gear for them. So the costs aren't that much. He's coming up. That's going to be midnight 15-ish. And then before that, drones. Not just something you buy at Sharper Image, kiddos. We've got huge concerns, issues, really things that blew my mind when I started learning more about them in a segment I'm calling Talk Nerdy to Me. David Plummer of Aerial Influence will be on with us telling us all the things we want to know about drones. And then first and foremost, in the studio with me right now, Justin Kolevchuk, whatever.
Kolevchuk.
I know.
There you go.
I just know nobody else can pronounce it. And so since I was playing around with the not pronouncing things correctly, Kolevchuk, you are with the Museum of Broadcast Communications, which is just up the street, actually just up the street from the old place across the river, over by there.
Over by there.
Kinsey, State and Kinsey.
State and Kinsey.
Thank you. Museum of Broadcast Communications, and where the SNL exhibit was until very, very recently. And then, man, you guys didn't miss a beat. Pardon the pun. You went like immediately as soon as you packed away all of those like Wayne's World guitars and cheerleader sweaters, you brought in the new exhibit, Louder Than Words. How did this get on your radar as far as something like I can see where you it fits for broadcast communications? How did you guys decide that this was the right fit?
Sure. So Karen Herman, who is at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a longtime friend of the Museum of Broadcast and Communications.
Yeah.
And you know, there was a dialogue for years going on about how can we partner, how can we do things, and so we started chatting, and we had nothing after SNL. We were just going to kind of go with the traditional NBC, Bozo, Svengoolie, you
really,
know,
really
all
great,
of, all of the Chicago classics. But instead, we went ahead and said, let's do something a little more mainstream. Let's do something for the tourist coming to Chicago. And that is when this opportunity came. So it's Louder Than Words, Rock, Power, and Politics.
Yeah.
And it's 175 artifacts direct from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it takes you from Eisenhower through Trump, and it looks at what was going on socially and politically and how music helped shape that or reflect that.
Right. So how the culture reflected or was reflected within the music. Now I'm seeing more coherently the connection, because so much of this was being televised, broadcast, played on the radio.
Sure.
All of which is represented at Broadcast Communications, the museum. Although I will say, while people are not currently able to see the Chicago treasures that you guys have, one of my favorite things to get to do is when you do have those out on display, boy, does it take you back. If you've not had a chance to go see them, one, I would recommend you go see Louder Than Words, which is here until
just at the end of August.
Wow, so that's a quick run.
Yeah, it's a quick run. It'll be here just kind of right before Labor Day here. And then we actually have another exhibit coming in.
Can we tease that or no?
Yeah, of course we can.
Yes, I Happy love this. To. Okay, so we'll get to that.
Yeah.
We're teasing the tease. But what is your favorite piece of memorabilia? And I never asked you that about the SNL exhibit, but I had a piece. So what was your favorite piece of SNL, and what's your current favorite piece?
Sure. So my favorite SNL piece, there's two, because one was kind of a behind the scenes, then one was actually a costume. Mm-hmm. The behind the scenes, there was a letter that Bill Murray wrote to Lorne Michaels saying, I was here for a meeting on time. You weren't, so I left. And so, pretty fun. And so, you know, in that case, that was a great kind of behind the scenes. And actually, when Lorne Michaels was at the museum last August, he saw that and just started laughing and like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that we kept that. Mm-hmm. But that was there. My favorite SNL piece, you could say, would be up in the control room, which was on the fourth floor, Gilda Radner's shoes, because it was actually the only artifact that SNL had still from Gilda Radner. And so with such a Chicago connection, not only making, you know, really starting off here at Second City, but then also huge, you know, Gilda's Club here as well. So that was always kind of my favorite thing. And again, just because, not because it was something that they were a pair of
they
shoes
weren't from
here.
A famous sketch. They
were not
just
from
hers.
A famous sketch. However, one of the reasons we didn't have a lot from Gilda Radner is because a lot of her characters, when you think about it, they were in street clothes.
Right.
And so she would actually take them home.
Sure.
She would take them home. It was part of her contract that she could take the clothing that she had on.
Yeah.
And
I
walk
want a
it right
contract
out of the building.
Like that.
Right.
I'm work on that. I think that was somebody's contract in Devil Wears Prada or something. They got to keep the clothes. So in the new exhibit, Louder Than Words, which is rock and roll and the culture surrounding it, what's your favorite piece?
So I've got two again.
You can't be definitive.
I can't, sorry. The one would be Bob Dylan's lyrics for Time They Are Changing. So it's pretty incredible.
Handwritten.
There's actually they're written in pencil, and you can see pencil erase marks.
That's the rock equivalent of the Gettysburg Address.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. The history, what you learn, just even at that display, how the first time he ever performed it live for an audience was the day after JFK was assassinated. And that is really then how that became this iconic theme for that generation. But again, it was written, though, about a year before. So that's one piece, of course, an iconic piece that's there. But the other one that I love is Eric Clapton's Birdland guitar. So for all the music people out there, also known as just Birdie, but the Birdland guitar was at what he performed with George Harrison, Guitar Gently Weeps. So just kind of having that there and having it be a part of this panel that's about artists uniting for social causes. And so in this case, really demonstrating George Harrison, Eric Clapton getting together for Concert for Bangladesh. So one of the very first kind of, you know, concerts for a cause, if you will.
Right.
And so I think that's just a great piece. We also have Bob, one of very few artifacts left of Bob Marley's at the museum right now.
Interesting. So. All right, we are going to come back and talk more about what the experience of going through this exhibit really is all about for those of us like me who haven't quite seen it yet. And for those of you who are interested in seeing it, when we come back, we are going to be giving away two pairs of tickets. Justin is graciously giving us to give away. So 312-981-7200, not yet, but soon we will be doing that on the other side of the break. Hannah Stanley here with Justin Kolovchuk. We are talking about the Museum of Broadcast Communications. You can get more information at museum.tv, and it is the exhibit currently there called Louder Than Words. More on WGN right after this. WGN Radio. So, Justin Kolovchuk is in studio. I actually did say it correctly that time. In studio with me from the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Their website is museum.tv, and the current exhibit is Louder Than Words. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Justin, in the last segment, you mentioned a story about Bill Murray. One of the pieces that was behind the scenes is Bill Murray wrote a quick note to Lorne Michaels, and it said, "What I was here, you weren't. I left." Something along those lines. So, ironically, I got here tonight and I texted Rokan something almost exactly the same. I said, "I'm here. Where are you? Or I'm here and you're not lame." And then I get a picture back of Mick Jagger because he's at the Stones concert.
Nice.
And it was a live one, too, right?
And it was one of those live shots. And I'm like, I don't need that clogging up my inbox. If I wanted to see Mick Jagger, I would have gone. That's not, Paul McCartney? Yes. Thank you.
Always.
Always.
Always Paul McCartney.
Oh, always. Always, always, always. So Justin, this exhibit, which opened really, really recently, within the past couple of weeks, huge, huge positive reception. The city loves this exhibit. But for those who've maybe not ever been to the museum at Kinzie and State, in downtown Chicago, what exactly are they going to see, experience? How do they go through it? Because the SNL exhibit, there was a whole, like, you went through, it was almost like being on a train.
Sure. SNL was Monday through Saturday. With that Sunday day off.
Yeah.
And with this, a little different, it is actually going from Eisenhower through Trump, looking at the...
So we're on a timeline journey.
You are on a timeline journey backed by 175 artifacts from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Everything from Pete Seeger, his banjo head, kind of starting off the exhibit with Eisenhower.
Sure.
All the way through the Joy Villa Grammy Make America Great Again dress that she wore. So kind of a controversial piece that we have going on there as well.
But so much of rock and roll is speaking out against establishment or political beliefs and opinions, right? So whether it's popular or not, but Lady Gaga's meat dress was not just a fashion choice. She was making a statement.
Absolutely. The other thing, we do have, for example,
not the meat dress.
We do not have the meat dress. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does have the meat dress.
No, they do not.
This exhibit, when it was at the Rock Hall, actually had the meat dress in it. But it
Do they keep it in a refrigerator? I
don't know exactly.
So I would love to know that.
Now it's dry aged. Gene and Georgettis could serve it because it's dry aged. It's really succulent. Yeah.
But we do have what's interesting. You know, I just spoke about the Trump Make America Great Again dress. Something kind of similar to that, we had during the Vietnam War, you had people that were, you know, protesting Vietnam, but then you also had people like Johnny Cash that were very
pro,
not really the war, but pro the troops.
Yes.
And such. And so we do have
That's a fine line.
There's a really cool exhibit piece of, you have just, you have Bruce Springsteen's draft notice and things like that. And then right next to it, you have Johnny Cash's outfit that he wore when he was, you know, basically really supporting the troops at that time. And also some things from the song, The Battle of the Green Beret. So again, kind of that was the response to the Eve of Destruction, that song. So we have kind of all pieces there. And so again, one of the things, Tom Morello actually from Rage Against the Machine, he there's a video of him saying that a lot of music really is political. And in the end, whether you are, you know, one of the taglines we use, whether you're red or blue, we all bleed rock and roll. And so I think in a lot of cases, you know, rock and roll has shaped and also it's reflected and affected our society.
And also it's interesting because some of these songs change in your mind as you grow, mature, see things in the rearview mirror differently, understand things better. Some of those songs mean more or annoy you differently. You know, it's so this is, I'm very excited to come come to this exhibit. Let's do this. So Vivian is producing tonight. We are going to give away two pair of tickets
to Vivian. That's
to Vivian,
great.
Yes. Also to Vivian. Vivian gets to be my guest because I am coming to see it. Absolutely. 312-981-7200 is the text or call in line. And then two winners will get two tickets each. So a pair to each winner. So you can call it or text. Vivian will be taking one of the. Do we have to? Should we do it a trivia or should we just make it like text or
We've got a caller right now.
Callers are already lining up.
We already got them.
But again, if you are interested in coming and you don't win the tickets, it is museum.tv. And really, you guys. Oh, and tell me really quick what the exhibit after will be.
So once Louder Than Words leaves, we have actually partnered with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame again for a new exhibit called Stay Tuned Rock on Television. And that is, again, a lot of these memorable items, everything from, you know, things from the first time Elvis was on the Ed Sullivan Show through things like Lady Gaga's first television appearance when she had on a metal bustier.
Uh-huh.
So
I feel like that was probably super comfortable.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Lord. But also some SNL things, some things from late night TV, Star
Search,
because
really,
reality TV.
SNL is one of the biggest, not producers, but they have more musicians on than any other show, really, almost in history, other than probably The Tonight Show. So every week, having a musical guest for 45 years, that's a lot of music.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not all Paul Simon. Sometimes it feels like that. But I love me some Paul Simon. Justin Kolovtsuk, thank you. I keep overpronouncing it, and I apologize, but I want to make sure I do it correctly. Museum.tv, the exhibit is Louder Than Words, and we have our winners. Okay, thank you. So if you're on the line and you didn't win, you are not Julia and Frank. Those are our two winners, and we will be getting your information. But the exhibit will be here through August. Thank you so much for your time, Justin. Hannah Stanley, we are going to get you guys to break and then get you guys right over to the news with Roger Badish right after this on WGN. Nerdy.
That is so good.
Oh, Hannah Stanley here. This is WGN Radio in a segment I came up with. That is literally called Talk Nerdy to Me. No reflection on my next guest, however, who is David Plummer, really Emmy Award-winning television producer for shows you guys would know. And then he went, you know what? Drones sound cool. So, David, thank you so much for coming on. I have so many questions because Well, first off, hi, thanks for calling. Thanks for coming on in.
Hi. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here talking to you.
I really, really appreciate it. I was lucky enough to get to go to the grand opening a while ago for your business, your launch called Aerial Influence. And for those who are taking notes at home, it is aerialinfluence.com, and it's Aerial, A-E-R-I-A-L.
Got it.
Yeah, not like the cartwheels. So what was fascinating to me is drones in my brain were something that you could go up high, take pretty pictures, or something that my son got on Christmas from my brother and then promptly got out of range across the street and up in a tree.
And gone forever. Right?
And well, I got it out, but it doesn't work anymore. But I mean, this is not something that, yes, you can buy them at Sharper Image or whatever equivalent of that branding now exists. But but you have elevated this, and that's what I wanted to talk. I had so many questions, and you were very, very busy. But this is not just something for fun and play.
Right.
This is a industry and a business. So tell me how you went, drones are good, let's make this a thing.
Sure. So, you know, about 3 years ago, my business partner, Michael Ferguson, and I, we've known each other our whole lives, grew up together. We started getting into drones because of the pretty pictures, just what you were just saying. You know, I have a television background. I love the arts. I love photography. So I went out and I bought a used drone because I just wanted to see what this thing could do. And I was so impressed with it. And at that point, we were just kind of playing around with it. But Michael then had the idea of think about what this could do for a lot of different businesses. And at that point, we were thinking, you know, like surveyors and inspections and things like that, where somebody could just pop a drone up real quick, take a look at a roof, inspect a roof, not have to put somebody up on a ladder. And so that was kind of the original thought of it all. And at that time, you know, Michael basically began working on this idea, you know, full time while I was, you know, had my other career going on. When I became available, I jumped on full time, and we've really just kind of come out of the gates hard in the last 9 months or so. And like you said, at our grand opening, we've got a 15-acre facility out here in the west suburbs in Elburn. And, you know, we invite people to come out and we train them and we show them kind of what drones can do. We show businesses how drones can help them save money, how drones can help them save the environment in a lot of different ways. So it's a really cool business to be in, an exciting business to be in, because, you know, there's a lot that we all have to learn about drones still. And we feel like we're on the forefront of it. So it's exciting.
I do feel like you're on the forefront, because I'm still, even though I've learned a little bit of the categories that you've mentioned, I think a lot of people still think of it as a hobby or a toy. So what are some of the main categories that even maybe you were surprised by where this has a huge future? Drones have a future.
So I think the biggest surprise for me has been agriculture. It just hadn't occurred to me, you know, that drones would be used. I always, you know, you think of tractors, you think of airplanes, you know,
the crop dusting.
Yeah, for crop dusting. So that was one that surprised me a lot. And I honestly, you know, this was me just not being smart enough and thinking, I don't think farmers are going to go for drones.
Right.
You know, and I was completely, completely wrong. And the reason I was wrong is because I didn't realize how advanced their tractors are. You know, their tractors, a lot of these John Deere tractors, a lot of the major tractors, they have all this technology built into them. They basically drive themselves. Mm-hmm. They're already pre-programming these tractors to drive a field by itself using GPS. So a lot of this technology that the drones use, they're already familiar with it. So they're very interested in what we're doing. And, you know, because we can provide them with several different things, from mapping and checking the health of their crops to actually spraying the crops and planting seed with the drones. And think about that, you know, this year especially, how wet it's been.
Right.
If you could farm, you know, if you had a small farm and the difference is take a tractor out there and destroy my ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my three options are take a tractor out there, destroy my ground, don't plant at all,
right,
or, you know, I could possibly be out there with a drone where I don't have to touch the ground at all. You know, for some farmers, that might really be an option. So it's been really interesting for us. We literally are learning new stuff every single day because we're not farmers either, you know. So we're learning as much from them as they are from us. So it's been a really interesting past 9 months for sure.
That is interesting because the county just west of DeKalb County, right? So what, 3-4 counties from where I am right now, is I think the fourth worst affected by floodwaters, in the country as far as farmland goes, right? So along the riverbanks, of course, they've got bad flooding, but as far as farmland, not planting, not putting the corn in the ground, they've got big issues. And this is, you're right. Those tractors weigh a lot and they would have wrecked those rows. You couldn't have planted that at all.
Yeah, if you drive around out here right now, my business partner and I were just saying this today, you know, there are so many fields right now that are not planted. There are a lot of fields right now that just have weeds growing in them, and that's really an unfortunate thing, and we think that we may be onto something that, you know, could help prevent that in the future. So
right, because they always say knee-high by the 4th of July, and I don't even think we're going to get some of the fields we won't even have crops in by then.
Yep.
All right. We are going to come back and talk more about this because really the most important question is how soon are we going to have really my Amazon packages showing up via drone? That's my biggest concern. Well, and maybe Chinese food.
Got it.
So if you can work on that for me during the break, Hannah Stanley, David Plummer of Aerial Influence, you can find out more about his business, his consulting, how you can learn more about drones and really get to go out and I'm not going to say he's going to let you fly him, but he might.
We might. Come ask and we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Because it started as a hobby. It's at aerialinfluence.com. More on WGN Radio right after this. Hannah Stanley, it is WGN Radio 1147. The segment I call Talk Nerdy to Me. By the way, we will be revisiting this segment on Thursday night. I get to host in this time slot as well from 10 p.m. until 1 a.m. And also on Wednesday, I'm so bummed we're not on the same night, but Steve and Johnny will be here. Chicago radio legends, WGN legends, WGN Walk of Fame class legends.
Wait,
will
a minute,
be hosting.
What night are they coming on?
Wednesday. I know, I'm not here either, but
I'll be the only one. I'll be the only one here that day.
Vivian gets to do that.
I get to produce for them. That's awesome.
They're just the best. Okay, so back to this, because David Plummer is on the phone of Aerial Influence. All right, so David, Aerial Influence is a drone consulting business. You guys do all kinds of different stuff with drones. Couple of things. One, can things be delivered to my house via drone yet?
They cannot be. Nothing can be delivered to your house via drone yet. A lot of testing has been going on in different parts of the world and some of them here in the United States. But I think, you know, Amazon was just approved not too long ago for delivery within the United States, and they're trying to say it's going to be within months. I don't know if it's going to be within months. I think we're looking at more like a year or possibly longer. But it's coming. Like there's going to be a day in the very near future when you're going to order something on Amazon and it's going to be your doorstep in a half an hour and it's going to be dropped off by a drone. It's coming. So
what a wonderful world that would be.
It's going to be interesting. Now, the scary part is how are we going to manage this in the sky? And I think that's what the FAA is figuring out now, you know?
All right. Well, speaking of managing, because one of the things that you actually clued me into, which would have never occurred to me. So when you know, I'm like being psychologically profiled, let this be heard that I really was like, my eyes, and you can probably confirm this, I was like, what? So some of these drones that we were previously talking about, and these things, by the way, are not like the size of a pie tin. These things are huge. That was impressive. But the regulations that you guys are helping manage and helping other people and purchasers, customers work through is because the things that can plant seeds and fertilize can also be used for evil.
Sure, yeah. I mean, and you think about it, and, you know, anything that flies through the air can be dangerous, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, pigeons. And we've worked in the city.
Ugh. Yes, exactly. So, you know, I think that, you know, with the drones and with the spraying drones specifically, because it can spray pesticides, we're very, very cautious. And, you know, obviously the FAA is involved, but we're really at the ground floor of this whole agriculture thing in terms of bringing these agricultural spraying drones to the U.S. So it all starts with us because people are contacting us to buy these drones. We're not just shipping drones out, you know, to anybody that says, hey, I'd like a spraying drone. Like, we are going out, we are meeting these people, we're seeing how they are planning on using them, we're training them on the drone if they are eventually going to buy the drone. So that's step one. Past that, there are several licenses they have to get to be able to fly the drone. There are separate licenses they have to get to be able to disperse pesticide and chemicals. Then there are other licenses they have to get to be able to spray those chemicals in the air. So legally, to be able to do this, there are several steps that have to be gone through. And that's what we're here for, is helping guide people through that process, getting them up and running, not just helping them, you know, training them on how to fly the drone, but there are so many legal loopholes, and the FAA is updating their rules on a weekly basis, and we're here to help people kind of wade through that as we wade through it ourselves.
I got to tell you, I feel a lot better, because as I was so shocked that was something that could be done, I was relieved that other people were thinking about this, going, this could go wrong.
Yes, really? Exactly.
Because my biggest fear would be that it would, like, crash into something.
Yeah, and you know, and that's obviously a real fear, but, you know, I guess the way I think about it is any technology, you know, a car can crash into anything, you know, anything can crash into anything, you know, anything can be evil, anything can be used for good. We are, you know, we are dedicated to making sure that our drones are being used for good. That's mm-hmm. why we work a lot with police and fire departments. And that's why we think, you know, what we're doing is important, because we are training people on how to do this the right way. We don't want people out there that aren't trained. We don't want people out there that aren't licensed flying around with dangerous drones, you know. And that's, you know, the positive steps we see right now are that they are updating those rules. And for just hobbyists as well, because that's one of the biggest things, is hobbyists really didn't have a lot of regulation other than, you know, stay below 400 feet and don't fly at night. Well, mm-hmm. that's starting to change, and they are putting more rules into that. Everybody has to register their drones. And there are a lot of safety measures that are being put in on a weekly basis from these drone companies. So, you know, I feel confident that we're going to get there. I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we're ready for, you know, world drone domination immediately, because there are a lot of questions that still have to be answered. But I think it is coming, that you're going to be seeing a lot of drones flying in the sky, a lot more than you're seeing now, and it's going to be for business purposes. So
you mentioned, we, of course, this always happens, we have to go to break, but we've got a couple minutes, two minutes. You mentioned police and fire, like public yeah. safety, first responders. Are they interested in this for assisting their jobs, or is this something that they need to be on top of for enforcement?
So they're using this, you know, they're using this for two different reasons. They're using it right now for, like, accident or crime scene reconstruction, because, mm-hmm. You know, we've got drones that can do, like, 3D mapping and things like that. So they're using them for that purpose, but then they're also using them for search and rescue. So we've mm-hmm. got drones that, you know, they have thermal cameras on them so they can see at night. We work with one of our best customers is the Elgin Police Department. They have sort of been one of the departments on the forefront of getting a drone department up and running. They just a couple weeks ago, or probably a month and a half ago, actually, saved a man's life. He, a diabetic man, he was missing. His family couldn't find him. He was missing for more than 12 hours. And in the middle of the night, they were able to find him using a thermal drone, you know, before he died. I mean, he was in diabetic shock. So that, you know, for us, obviously, you know, this is a profession for us. This is a business. But that is one of the things that we take a lot of pride in, is, you know, we see these are really working to help save people's lives, and not just save, you know, pedestrians and regular folks, but also these, you know, the folks that are out there trying to save those people, keeping them out of harm's way a lot of the time. So that makes us really proud.
Absolutely. On a much smaller level, I know there was a dog in our neighborhood that was missing for several days, and all of the kids in the neighborhood put their drones up in the air and started looking for the dog. And
oh,
it was like,
cute.
It was a super cute thing. I had totally forgotten about that until you mentioned that. Really so many applications, because they could use this for, instead of doing high-speed police chases, they can really incognito follow a suspect without putting the public in danger. So this has some far-reaching possibilities, probably more than we've even been able to conceptualize.
I think that's what's so exciting, is I think on a lot of different business levels, people are just starting to now say, hey, you know, what if we, this thing we've been doing for the last 50 years, that we've been doing it this way, what if we did it with a drone? It'd be a lot cheaper, probably.
Wow.
People are just now, the wheels are starting to turn.
And the equipment is there now.
Yes, the technology is actually there now. And so this is, you know, this is an opportune time to try to do something like that with your business. So.
Oh, David Plummer, Aerial Influence. The website is aerialinfluence.com. You can get more information there. We will have it up on the WGN website attached to this podcast. And I'll post everything up on social media as well. Thank you so much for your time, and thanks for really spearheading this and for being my inaugural Talk Nerdy to Me guest.
Well, thank you so much. I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me, and I can't wait to talk to you soon.
Oh, it sounds great. Thank you, David. Really appreciate it.
Bye.
Hannah Stanley here on WGN Radio. We're going to get you to break. And then on the other side of that, back to the news with Roger Badish right after this, WGN. I was just taking a moment. Hannah Stanley here on WGN. Thrilled to be here. Haven't been thrilled to be sitting in Illinois during the past couple of weeks. Man, it's a solstice. Today at 10, I think 10:44 was the solstice. Mm-hmm. I forgot. I was busy today. I had things going on, so I didn't get to balance the eggs on end. That's a bummer. It's like one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
Because apparently you can do it that day, but not others. But other people will go, no, you can do it any other day. But I don't see videos of people posting eggs on end, like on a random Wednesday in August. So I saw this meme, and I sent it to Vivian, so she's going to post it later. And I'll have it on my social media, too. Stop complaining about your life. There are literally people living in Illinois.
I love that.
It made me laugh out loud, because I like positive, you know, like inspirational things. And then I was like, oh, this one's, you're right, this should put things in perspective. And then I'm like, oh, no, I'm in that subgroup. That's not great.
Like, I'm happy about this, but sad about this at the same time.
Well, so it's not been great weather.
It's been awful.
It's been rainy, as David Plummer had mentioned. So it's a more challenging season and year for agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Orion will be talking about that. Max mm-hmm. Armstrong will be talking about that later, as they probably have been consistently since 2012. It's just been so dreary. That's when the kids have been off of school. This is now second or third week. I've lost count because all the days look the same.
Right. Right.
I don't know. Roger, you've got the grandkids. What have you guys been doing? Anything?
Well, it puts a damper on things. I'm trying to think back. I'm always worried about whether on the colder days when they come out of school, whether they've got a warm enough jacket on. And then
they're so revved up. And this is speaking from a crossing guard, like a grade school crossing guard. They don't care.
I know they don't care, but they better with me.
Well, okay.
Yeah, that's just the way I roll.
I know.
But then afterwards, I can't say, hey, do you want to go play in the park for a while?
Well, and that's the thing, because even like the lawn mowing, mm-hmm. I look at Grayson and I go, Gray, my son, for those of you playing at home. Grayson is my 11-year-old, and I say, honey, the lawn's got to get mowed. And then I walk out, and I'm ankle deep in water. And I'm like, yeah, not so much. Never mind.
Yeah.
I need a drone to cut my lawn.
Yeah. I have less concerns with the grandkids than I do with golf. No, because we have a golf league on Wednesdays.
Yes, you do.
It's a 50-year-old golf league. And the course is about four or five blocks from my house, so it's easy to get to.
You're not 50.
You're
not 50?
No, I know. I'm much older than the league. But the league has been around for 50 years. I have not been in the league for 50 years.
Oh, just checking.
I've been in the league
for about 50 to be in the league, and I was excited because I'm coming up on that.
In fact, some of them are even older than me.
Okay.
And play way better than me. It's very frustrating.
They practice more, Roger. Yeah. You're a working man.
I'm a work in progress.
Yes,
more like it.
All of us are.
But we have had half of our Wednesdays to play because the course has either been closed off or it's been too cold or nobody shows up because the weather is so lousy.
See, and we've had this before because we have the kids can do swim lessons, right? That's a summer thing. Everybody does swim lessons. And I'm always so hesitant to have them sign them up for the swim lessons outside because warm days, like warm summers, it's still in the low 70s. And if you've got a breeze, that's chilly to be outside, or it's raining. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing swim lessons every day, but at a high school pool.
Okay.
Making a thing. But so we have done lots and lots of things. We have a Lego table now in our basement. That's exciting. So
actually
all the Legos.
Made out of Legos? A Lego table?
No. Oh. That would have been better.
That would have been cool.
That would have been amazing. But you know, it was so much less money to build it out of wood and steel.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah. Legos are not cheap.
No.
The Lego, we're making a whole Lego city now because Grayson and Preston, they're all very excited about this. So that's been a summer activity. And the other thing that we've seen a lot of movies already. Because what else are you going to do?
Well, do you have them on a summer reading program?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Absolutely. They both do Summer Brain Quest.
So it's something set up through the library or the school?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
And through me, because the Brain Quest thing.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
And we're at Preston, who's my daughter. Preston and I are on book 6 of Harry Potter. We've been reading those for a while. Yeah, so we've got things
first
going
time
on.
Through?
For her.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right. All
yeah.
Right.
And so I will clarify this. And this is where it's going to get very interesting, because Harry Potter, I read the first one when I think 3 was coming out.
Okay.
Because I wanted to see what the fuss was about. I didn't have kids. I'm an adult. But, like, really, Harry Potter? It can't be that great. And then I finished the first chapter, and I was like, oh, it's that good.
Yeah.
We finish a book, and then she's able to read them. But when the new books were coming out, because there was always a big delay, people are like, oh, Game of Thrones, it's like 14 months. And I was like, really? Harry Potter? That took years.
Right.
So what would happen was, let's say book 6 is coming out, I would reread the entire series.
Oh, so you could get back into sync. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So I would finish 5 like a week or less before 6 came out. So Preston, now we're on book 6, and she's like, Mom, what happens? And I'm like, I gotta tell you, I can't remember. I really don't remember.
It's been so long. Yeah.
It's been so long, and I only read it twice. And book 7, I read it once, and I read it so fast that, I mean, I think book 7 is 42,000 pages, and I read it in like 3 days. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Because I just wanted to know what happened. So I'm excited to get to book 7, which will be pretty soon. But we went and saw Toy Story 4 today, because another kind of cruddy day outside.
There you go.
I want to see that. Well, I want to see that movie.
Let's go back to Harry Potter for one second.
Yes.
I'm about to complete your summer.
Yes.
You know about Pokemon Go.
Yes. Oh,
have
I
you...
know. Wizards Unite.
Yes.
It's today.
Another AR. It's already been out. It is a smash hit, and I've seen several screen grabs of it.
Keep talking while I download it, please.
Okay, go ahead. So Pokemon Go, for those uninitiated, is an AR game. It's an actual reality or something like that. It's where you actually hold your phone up with the game on the phone. It's an app. You download a game, and you can actually walk through your neighborhood. If you want to use up the battery in your phone quickly, you... you make sure that the camera is on so that you could see where you're going. And little characters, Pokemon, pop up and you try to catch them as a Pokemon trainer. You throw Pokeballs right at them. So if you want to save battery power on the phone, you don't turn on the camera. You could just use what's on the app. Mm-hmm. Well, the people who made that app and came up with that technology have upgraded the technology and united with, I think it's Warner Brothers, owns the rights to Harry Potter.
Universal.
Mm-hmm. Universal Warner Brothers. So they partnered with them and have come up now with a Wizards Unite Harry Potter app that you can go into the pubs and get yourself a butterbeer. You can, it's the same process. Villages pop up out of nowhere and you...
How very Brigadoon.
Yes. Yes. And you can wave
your
wand.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Vivian like snapped up with her neck and started Googling Brigadoon.
Oh, so she knows, Vivian? You know Brigadoon?
No, she doesn't know.
I have no idea what you both are talking
Brigadoon
about.
Brigadoon is a musical, thank you, about a magical town that
in
appears
Scotland,
once every...
one day every 100 years.
Every 100 years, okay. And these regular guys who just stumble into that one day
Gene
every
Kelly.
100 years. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Now you're going to make me cry. Okay. So, no songs.
Yes.
So, did you download it yet?
I'm working on it.
All right. It's going to take a while because, as with Pokemon Go, which I gave up on several years ago, I used to be a huge Pokemon
Yes,
Go,
you were.
In the old building, in between newscasts, I would walk the hallways on the seventh floor and actually capture Pokemon in the hallways.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you sure it wasn't ghosts?
Yeah. Over by the old CNN sign.
The old building was more than a little haunted in the tower, the Trib Tower.
Well, these were friendly Pokemon.
Okay. They were a different kind of spirit.
I hate to say this, but as I would then drive home on Lakeshore Drive, water Pokemon were along the lakefront. So
I don't need to know that you were doing something
illegal. Okay. So
yeah, it is currently downloading, but it's a bigger thing.
Yes,
but
definitely.
Okay, so I'm so glad you brought this up because this gives me something now to do with the kids.
Definitely. And it's going to be, I read the reviews. I can't remember everything other than the towns popping up. And I forgot again, you have to collect power or something or
potions.
Magic spells, potions and stuff. And you go after, I forgot the more details.
Well, here's the thing. So I've got this downloading and I'm going to start playing this with the kids tomorrow.
Okay.
And then I'm on Thursday. You're on Thursday and we can compare our
progress.
I haven't
downloaded it yet.
No, not yet. But you will.
I will. Yeah. Yes, ma'am, with my little slow internet connection at home.
Do it here on the Wi-Fi.
Oh, that's right. How long? It's still downloading with you?
I'm not on the Wi-Fi.
Oh.
I forgot. Oh. Well, I turn off the Wi-Fi when I drive because it just constantly drains your battery because you're constantly searching for a Wi-Fi signal. And then I got here and I didn't turn it back on because...
Well, why don't you just turn your phone off instead of just the Wi-Fi when you're driving?
Valid question.
Mapping.
Boom. Oh, come on. You know this city.
No, you know why? It's Waze.
You don't need the map.
No, it's not. You're absolutely right. I don't need the map. I need the Waze.
To see if there's an accident ahead?
Yeah.
Yeah. It reroutes you around traffic. And it's not the accidents. It's the construction.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because remember, winter was yesterday. Construction is today.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
It takes forever. Steve and Johnny, we were just talking about them. Mm-hmm. They're going to be on Wednesday night. She texted me last night, and she said, by the way, for your show tomorrow, you might want to leave now. And I was like, you're so right. You have no idea. So, by the way, Toy Story 4, absolutely no spoilers. It's wonderful.
Good.
It is beautiful. And lovely, and the kids loved it, and I loved it, I think, at a very different level.
Did you cry?
I did. Aww. Partly I cried because I believe it's over.
Yeah,
you know?
I think they said that's the last one.
But they said that after 2 and 3.
Yeah.
We'll see. The thing is with Pixar and how they develop these stories, they think it's over until they go, you know what would be great?
Right.
And then if they have the right story, they're not just doing it to continue the franchise.
Right.
They're doing it to continue the story.
But as you very well know, there's a complete industry about Toy Story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not only toys and books and all that stuff
at
the store, but mm-hmm. you have a land.
I've been there.
In Disney World,
mm-hmm.
which of course is on our schedule.
Yes.
For
yes,
a year from September.
As it should be, sir.
They definitely want to go on the Slinky Dog ride.
Okay, so Slinky Dog Dash, you've got to go first thing in the morning. You've got to be there when the park opens.
Well, because it's like 10 hours to wait.
No. That's, speaking of Harry Potter, that's what happened with Hagrid's motorbike thing. That was an actual 10-hour wait.
Wow.
And that, with the expense of getting into the park,
mm-hmm.
that's a waste.
Well, that's Universal Studios.
That is Universal Studios.
That's not Walt Disney World.
No. But it won't be as bad because Star Wars Land is opening in the same thing.
And everyone's going over there.
Exactly. Yeah. However, yeah. It is a good ride. It is
the Slinky.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I know. We
waited
a video
like 90
of
minutes.
All the rides.
Yeah, we waited 90 minutes the one day, and we were like, and I'm not kidding. We pulled like, and it's a pretty decently long ride,
okay.
like 90 seconds, 2 minutes, something like that.
All right.
And at one point, you come to a slow spot, and Grayson goes, "Worth the wait."
Oh man! Was that when the camera flashed?
No, it was so funny. All right, here's the thing: I did promise that Johnny Immerman
yes.
is going to be coming up, and he is. He's on his way. He
okay.
was at an event tonight for Close Talk, which we are going to talk all about, and it just ended. So he is en route and will be here, and we will have him on as soon as he arrives. And his brother, who's his business partner, is going to be up here as well. But I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that we weren't skipping Johnny. No,
yeah.
absolutely not. So we just moved Harry Potter, Wizards Unite, Disney Toy Story 4 talk.
And weather.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I don't need to get Skilling on the phone and be sad about this because it looks brighter ahead. Roger, you've got the forecast, right? It looks
yeah,
we're going to be in the 80s.
Yeah, we've got periods
and clear.
Of rain, and we're getting up into the 80s for the next couple of weeks. Mainly, there might be a few cooler spots along the lakefront, but mainly in the 80s, mid-80s, coming up, I think, the next 12 days that I've seen.
Yeah, I just see 80.
We're going to be at or above average.
You know, on Tom Skilling's,
finally.
Tom Skilling's birthday, he's older by the lake.
Man.
He likes that joke.
Speaking of birthdays.
Yes.
Monday.
Really?
Yeah.
Your birthday is Monday, Roger?
Vivian, how old am I going to be?
You're going to be
50.
13.
50.
My number was completely unrealistic,
years.
Too.
I'm 50. All righty.
How old, Roger?
Yeah.
67.
Wow.
I know. Doesn't he look good?
You look great, Roger.
So Jeez. Handsome.
Boy, I need to put more makeup on.
No, you don't.
I rated a theater company.
Every day is a gift, Roger.
It is,
know
my
that.
Angel.
And getting old is a privilege. So.
Vivian doesn't know that you're one of my angels.
No, yeah. I'm one of Roger's angels.
Oh, I love that.
She's now Googling angels. Charlie's angels.
Charlie's angels, not the
When
spiritual.
Roger was battling cancer, there were three of us who were all on the air on Saturday nights, and we were always trying to do our best
so
to support
nice.
Roger. And we were happy to hang there with you.
Yeah, and I've got a beautiful picture at home of the three of them
posing as Charlie's Angels.
Oh, I love that. That's so nice.
One of us had like a mini bat. The other one had a can of Aquanet.
Yes.
So ridiculous. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back and make sure I can get you to the next break so that I can get you to Roger on time. And we'll have Johnny Immerman in shortly after that. I really, really, one, I love Johnny. He makes you want to be a better human being. And if you don't know him, please stay tuned. And if you do know him, he'll make your day better and actually start your day off correctly because it's now Saturday.
The weekend.
It is the weekend. But he's got a venture that is such a great idea, and I'm thrilled to get to talk about it. So that'll be coming up in just a little bit. In the meantime, stay tuned. WGN Radio, I'm Hannah Stanley. Hannah Stanley. Here on WGN Radio 720. You know you can watch us. You can You can log in.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you can go to the WGN Radio website, WGNradio.com, and you can... you can
hit
watch live, and then you can also listen to us, and you can listen to us via the app. Also, your texts and calls, 312-981-7200. We gave away tickets earlier to go see Louder Than Words. I'm back on Thursday. I wonder if Justin will give me a couple more pair.
Ask and you shall receive.
I bet he would. I bet he would. Cool. I really, really, I'm going to try to get down here early on Thursday to go to the exhibit, because it's...
Over at the museum?
Yeah. When I went to SNL exhibit, I went the Friday as it closed, the last weekend. And my biggest regret was that I didn't go there months earlier, so I could have gone multiple times.
Oh, because it was a big exhibit.
There was a big exhibit.
To do. Yeah.
There was a lot. There was a lot to go through, and I know that I miss things because, you know, people, it's an exhibit, just like at any museum. If you go again, you see stuff you didn't see. So anyway, yeah. So I'm excited to go because then if I want to go see it again, then I'll have time. Yeah. And then we get to see the other one.
That'd be cool.
But I'm going to be in Cleveland.
What?
Yeah. And so now I'm wondering if I don't need to go to the Rock Hall because everything's going to be here.
What crazy. What are you doing in Cleveland?
My sister lives outside of Cleveland.
Hi, sister.
Yeah, Molly. She's great. Molly. Yeah. So I downloaded Wizards Unite.
Is it done?
It's done. It's done downloading.
Okay.
I should download it, too.
You should, and then we should play, because you're back with me on Thursday.
Yes, I am.
And we can figure out how many people we have stunned and how many Dementors we have battled.
Ooh.
And how many it's Patronus. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's how many Patronuses.
What is your Patronus?
My Patronus would likely be a penguin, I think.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's usually animal-oriented.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say otter because they're super cute, but that's Hermione's. And there are people now listening at home going, what are they talking about?
Mm-hmm. You lost me, too, actually.
You don't mean, have you read Harry Potter?
I've not read. I've watched. I'm one of those people.
Then you know his
Patronus. I'm sorry, everybody. I think I just...
Have you seen all of them?
I would like to say yes.
Here's
but,
the thing.
Maybe
there,
not.
There are a few movies that are as good as the books.
Yeah.
Field of Dreams being one of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are not them. The Harry Potter... Harry Potter books are, 82 times better than all of the movies. They did a good job in the movies.
Well, I got to tell you. So I became a fan with the movies.
Because of the movies.
First.
Okay.
I saw the movies first, and I became a fan. I think I have watched them about 20 times each. Seriously, wow. I get on a kick, especially when they're for free on Amazon Prime.
Sure.
Which is like once every other month.
The time. Yeah. Yes.
And then, unbeknownst to me... Our daughter had been buying the books. She has all the books at home.
Oh, yeah.
So I decided, I think it was last year or the year before, I said, you know what? I'm going to see how close the books are to the movie or vice versa.
Like 40 times more detailed.
Exactly. And I got so hooked.
Yeah.
I could not put them down.
They're so robust.
Yes.
And
there's
that's
more in them than in the movies.
Seriously. A ton. And really explains, especially 5, explains so much more of the teen angst and the reasoning behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. You've only got 90 minutes to 2 hours.
So
you can't put 800 pages into that. It just doesn't work.
I hope I get to redeem myself with this, but I just came from the Universal Studios. I was there last week, and I went to the
Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Yep, and it was great
really excited.
Yeah, but up until literally the roller coaster that we went on, it got stuck.
Oh no!
And it's all virtual reality.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was so scary. So did I redeem myself with this? I don't think.
Okay, so you have about 3,000 pages to read by Thursday.
Oh, yep. That's great.
We'll be talking about Wizards Unite on Thursday at some point, maybe briefly. Here's what we're going to do. Roger, it is news time with WGN News Time, 12:30. Are we taking a break first? We're going to take a very quick break, and then I'm going to get you to the news. All right, that's what we're going to do. Hannah Stanley, WGN. We'll be right back. Hannah Stanley on WGN. You guys, I'm so lucky because we were able to time this perfectly. Johnny and Jeff Immerman in studio here right after their huge event. Brand new company. If you guys don't, if you haven't met Johnny, if you're one of those two people who hasn't met Johnny and you're not familiar, Immerman Angels, look it up, ImmermanAngels.com or .org.
.org, but we got .com. Too,
I know so you do. I am like,
don't want to lose anyone.
No, I'm like, just they own all of them. Spell it wrong, it still comes up. But it's one-on-one cancer support that you founded. And we were just talking about this. Jeff didn't know this story. Your brother Jeff is here also. I was in labor interviewing you with my son, who is now 11 and a half. And that was not even that wasn't even the first time I interviewed you. But I was like, okay. And I remember mentally telling my son at the time, I was like, Mom has an interview. Like, just let me get through this interview and then I'll go to the hospital. But so you guys now have over 10,000 survivors in your network that you can pair one-on-one with cancer fighters.
Well, thank you, Hannah Stan. It's always good to see you. We're flattered to be here. And yeah, you know, you've helped a ton. Let me tell you, It's been a team effort since day one. No one person builds anything that really changes lives on a big scale. And it's been a team from the beginning. And it's a team today. And the team now is over 10,000 human beings and families who've been through the cancer experience, either personally or their spouse or their kid or their mom or their cousin or somebody in their family's been through it, and they mentor and they volunteer to give back to help the next person. So nobody fights alone.
It's brilliant. Roger Badish, who's my news guy, you talked to him many, many years ago when he was fighting cancer. It really has, Immerman Angels, is always the first thing out of my mouth when I hear someone's fighting, and I go, I got a guy. And like, but I got a guys now doing something, a new venture, which is super exciting, and it's called Close Talk.
That is right. We learned, Hannah, from Immerman Angels.
Yeah.
We said, hey, look, you know, we want to get the word out. We have awesome people like you that helped us have a voice to find people. It's free. You know, we just want to help people. Like, there's survivors that want to give back.
And you've given me, I have two Immerman Angel t-shirts.
Oh, I love it.
And my husband and I still wear them. And I'm not kidding. We've had a lot of people, which is exactly your point in this new venture, see what we're wearing on our shirts and ask us about it. What is Immerman Angels? What is one-on-one cancer support? So tell me about how you guys have decided to move forward.
Yeah, you know, we realized that if we made the swag and the apparel and the logo look a little cooler, if we put on higher quality stuff, if we got like apparel that people thought they looked good in, and they're like, whoa, I like the feeling of this on me, I believe in what the meaning of this cause is for, and I feel like a better person when I'm going to the gym, or I'm going to see the Stones, or I'm going to a Cubs game or a Sox game, and I'm rocking a logo of something positive. Like, I'm volunteering just by being me doing my daily life activities. You could be walking your dog in a 10-minute walk, but if the neighbor sees and asks about what is that logo, you know, that's how we spread the word. And so that's what Close Talk is based on. We said, my brother and I said, why don't we create something that can help what Immerman Angels benefited from, cooler swag and swag that people wanted to wear because we got higher end stuff, and it helped us grow that word, get the word out and help us help more people. Why don't we scale that to help all charities but do it for free? We don't charge a charity a dollar ever. They never pay us. We build a free online store. We design their apparel with their logo. We create a little mini page on our site at closetalk.com of their mission, of their bullet points. People got to believe in what they're wearing, but then you can buy it right there. We power that whole
Shopify store. But you're buying it in such volume that those prices can be lower than if a smaller charity was trying to do this on their own.
You're absolutely right. In theory, absolutely
so
right. We're
smart.
Still small and we're startup guys again. And so, you know, it's very humbling. You start from the bottom again and we have sales most days, but it could be a couple shirts, a couple hats a year there. But yes, in theory, by grouping all the nonprofits together collectively, by having like unity with all the nonprofits on one platform, on one site that the everyday user can say, I'm going to go online. I'm going to go to closedoc.com. I like animal charities. I'm going to click on the animal category. I'm going to read about all the animal charities on here. And I'm going to buy a $20 shirt or a $19 hat. And I'm going to, you know, rock that logo and spread the word. By grouping them together, we're able to keep the prices low and the quality of the apparel higher and offer one-offs.
All right. So that said, and we've discussed that my 11-and-a-half-year-old son, I was in labor with him when I was talking with you, and that wasn't our first interview. So that being said, let's say it was 6 months earlier. I've got Immerman Angels t-shirts that are 12-plus years old that look as if you gave them to me yesterday.
You're amazing. You still have them. How great is Anna?
I am really good at laundry, but that also speaks to quality because I have concert t-shirts that did not last two washes. So to speak to the organizations, if people are going to put their money towards repping your brand, make it look great. And this makes so much sense.
We just, you know, let me tell you, we messed it up for years. We, like a lot of charities, got the $2 t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
We had volunteer designers to save money because we're like, we want to help more cancer patients. We don't want to spend money on that.
Sure.
But the reality is it's a one and done, one way road.
Mm-hmm.
And people wear it once, and it's like that 5K shirt that you get that you're going to, you know, everyone's wearing them once, and then you chuck it a Saturday afterwards, and that's it.
Now it's my paint shirt. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But the number of people we've been on vacation in elevators who've asked us about Immerman Angels, and then I was always joking that I had more of your business cards than my own, because I was like, here's my friend. But it really, I always felt like it touched the people that it was supposed to, you know?
You're amazing. We're with Closed Talk, we are really under the belief that there's a lot of awesome humans like Hannah Stanley out there who care. The fact that you wear it 11 years later, that you realize by doing it is another family that may ask you, and their mom has cancer, or their cousin, or they do.
Mm-hmm.
And without that connection, you know, we can't help those people. Immerman Angels doesn't help. So we believe there are a lot of great humans out there like you. And if we can inspire them to act like you do, to wear the apparel for whatever cause is meaningful to them. We don't want to tell people what they should care about.
Yeah.
But we should all care about something. And we should all believe that there's something out there that's a social impact that makes the world better. And then take it to the next level.
So, Jeff, you and I don't know each other very well. That's changing now.
I like this.
So when you guys, who said this is what we should do? Was this your idea? Was this Johnny? I mean, he's a force. Yeah, I know this.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
It was really Johnny's idea from having been with Immerman Angels for over a decade and sort of seeing that sort of crack in the system where a lot of the charities would come up with stuff that was no fault of their own, because you know they're understaffed and they're underfunded, and they're just trying to put every resource they have towards serving their mission and their people.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny experienced that, but then we also saw with Immerman Angels, by doing quality gear that people wore, that people have it 11, 12 years later, like that. Let's do this then, you know, for other charities. So they're all ready to make. They're all made to order, and so we do all of the. We take the orders. We operate the web store, we do the shipment, we do the fulfillment, we handle the customer service so that the charity can just focus their limited resources and people on their
actually
mission.
The charity, exactly. Their own work.
Exactly. Let us take the marketing and branding piece off your plate. We don't cost you anything. There's no social media obligations, no payments to us at all, ever. You just do your thing, and we're going to help spread the awareness and let more people connect with you, volunteers, people who need your help, board members, donors, could be anybody out on the street who, like you said, walks up and says, what's Immerman Angels?
Right. And from the perspective of putting out that initial money, since you guys are handling all of that, they don't have to put in a $10,000 order for t-shirts and have those random weird sizes just in case. They're just, people go to your website, then it's printed and shipped.
That's right. So, our idea should solve the inventory problem, Hannah, that you're talking about for a charity. And we see so much less money.
I have so many double XLs.
Yep.
Like, charities will drop them off. You know, we're doing interviews and they throw them on the table. And I'm like, well, I'll take it because I'll work out in it or something. Yeah, right. But this is phenomenal because that whole chunk of time, effort, everything, money, they don't have to worry about.
And we also think, like, you know, you see a 5K and there's 3,000 people walking there. Mm-hmm. And if you give them a shirt that they're going to go home and then just use to sleep in or mm-hmm. to garden in or to throw in the back of the closet, you're missing 3,000 opportunities to put a shirt on people then that are going to wear it a few times a month, a few times a week, mm-hmm. and help spread the word.
No, so. If it's high quality, if it feels good, you know, yeah. if it does what I need it to do and it's going to last, I'm going to wear it.
And then also I should add, we also donate 20% of net profits back to the charities. So it's a way for them to raise awareness and then at the end of the year to get some funds. And all they're doing is exactly what they're doing
is right not now. Spending any money. They're not spending money and then they're getting money back. Does anybody think this is not a good idea?
I like you.
312-981-7200 because we need to talk with you about what is wrong. This doesn't, there's so many, this makes so much sense.
We built it, Anna, with that mindset. We say to every charity of the 108 501c registered federal nonprofits are all awesome. We vet them all to all 108 and all the new ones we talk to. We always want more. We want to help more. And we say to them, if you find a negative, if you find a downside in any way, tell us and we'll move it out of the way. And I mean, that's by design. There shouldn't be any negatives.
No.
No. It's like we
not in life. Not here. No. No. All right. We are going to continue talking with Jeff and Johnny Immerman. Man. All right. First off, the website, because it's Close Talk, but it's not how you would think. So tell me how people spell this so they can find you guys.
So what we do is we spell it CLOZTALK. Every so often we get Claws Talk, but
sure.
It's Close Talk, so that your clothes are talking, that people are saying, what is Aspire? What is Immerman Angels? What is the Pink Fund? And now your clothes are sparking conversations and you're connecting with somebody that you otherwise may have walked by.
Right.
So it's just closetalk.com. And we've got the name. How do we get the name? Just to sort of make it a little...
Hip.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
My mom will be mad at me. She came up with that one. I forgot about that.
Mrs. You're Immerman. Right.
She named Immerman Angels.
If you're
Angels.
Listening. Right.
I know. That was Johnny talking.
She named Immerman Angels and she named Close Talk.
Close Talk. CLOZ Talk.
.com. Yep.
All right. And that's more it. Information. We're going to continue talking with the Immerman brothers right after this. Hannah Stanley here on WGN. Hannah Stanley, filling out the end of the show. Matt Bubala coming up relatively soon. In studio, I have Jeff and Johnny Immerman, who radiate such warmth that people come running to the studio to say, I've been an angel, I want to be an angel, you helped me, you affected me, you made my life better. You make me want to be a better person. That's what I always say. That's what I always tell you.
We're both very lucky to be on a team with so many good human beings who care about other human beings. And that's, when you think of Immerman Angels, it's plural because it's about the network.
Mm-hmm.
It's about all these humans that span over 100 countries now in every state. Over 10,000 of us beating everything from bladder cancer to brain cancer to
bone
cancer.
Gosh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's everybody together on a team. You don't know who's going to get the next call, right?
No.
You don't know who's going to come in who's sick, who needs which one of us. But together, the network is what makes us strong. So that's what keeps us upbeat.
Yeah. My sister's very, very good friend was diagnosed just over a year ago. Stage 4 pancreatic cancer. She's fine.
Good.
She's in remission.
That's beautiful.
Awesome. I know. Love it. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's great.
But my sister called me to tell me about it a year ago. We were both sobbing because you and I have talked about pancreatic cancer. that's not a great call. Yep. And we were both crying, and she goes, I know, Immerman Angels, I'll tell her, but not right, I can't do it today. I'm like, no, I'm fine. I get it. But maybe I should send her a text.
So glad she's okay.
She's doing great.
At our event tonight, we invited 108 groups, all of our partners.
Wow.
And some other ones that we're friends with too in the area. One of the groups is the Rolf Pancreatic Cancer Foundation, local to Chicago. And they were there tonight. We were just with them a few hours ago.
Oh, I got to reach out to them.
They're great.
Oh,
and
that's so good.
They're working on solving pancreatic cancer. I mean, they fund research.
They're getting there.
They're getting there. It's better every year.
It really, really does. All of it does. But I'd be remiss, because I have you sitting here, and this is always our message when I have you in studio or on the phone with me, please do self-exams. Please go to the doctor. Please get your physicals and your checks, because I love this quote, doctors don't give you cancer. Yes. You have it or you don't.
You have a great memory.
And the sooner, it's just the greatest quote. Everybody's scared to go to the doctor because they're like, they might tell me I have something wrong. Well, you do or you don't. The doctor is only going, the sooner you get it diagnosed, the better your chances are.
Can I throw something in?
Yes, please. My friend.
Having been
Roger Badish.
Having been, hi guys, from the little corner of the TV
screen.
Yeah,
he's up there. Yeah.
In the square. If I may jump on that comment and that sentiment, if you think that something's happening to you that's out of the ordinary, whatever the final diagnosis may be, get your behind into the doctor.
Yes.
And if you can't get straight answers from your doctor, find another doctor.
Preach.
This is from someone who went through it.
Yes.
And thank God I had a team of doctors who believed in me. And who
believed you,
who believed me, yeah. And in me, and listened to my complaints about my symptoms, did the required test, and then used their brain power and their training to say, this is what we think you have. We have to do more tests and we want to find it. And mind, originally, I came in with the symptoms and they couldn't find anything.
Well, and Johnny was exactly the same.
Yes.
And Jeff, you were the one who encouraged him to go to a specialist. Was it you?
Was it me or was it mom?
It was brother Paul. Not to take anything away from
Jeff.
I'm getting all the answers wrong.
Where is Paul?
Paul is great.
Okay. He's a doctor.
Okay. He is a doctor, well, actually.
I don't know that he was at the time. Regardless, you're absolutely right. And but that said, now that we have all thrown our soapboxes into the corner, you guys are here because you've decided to make the world better for those making the world better. So Close Talk, CLOZ talk,
you've got it
just like it's spelled, .com. And you, if you have a non-for-profit, they can reach out to you guys.
That's right. I love how you say that. Our mission now is to say we want to find all the best causes out there who solve real social problems and are all 501c registered, vetted, in great standing with the government, doing good work, strong impact. How do we take their brand from a 3 to a 9? You know,
yeah.
How do we elevate and make their awareness out there? Because if they have that awareness, what's going to happen is every one of these causes is going to draw more volunteers to help them. They're going to draw more people that talk about them because they believe
mm-hmm.
in it. They're going to draw more people that come to their events and donate, and they're going to draw more donors.
It's the shampoo commercial, and you tell two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on.
We really have learned that through Immerman Angels. Awareness is the driver of everything that a cause needs.
Yeah, and it's branding, but that's not a dirty word. Like, you have to have people talk about it, or your clothes.
Right. These are
talk.
These are free, just like Immerman Angels. These are free services.
Jeff is like, wow.
She's kinda quick at this hour.
She's kind of corny.
I'll tell you, one of our vision, though, really, for it is Close Talk becomes a hub for all just great charities across the country, that somebody can go on there and say, I want to find a great animal charity. They go to that category and they can find out where to get involved. Or they move to Florida and can say, wow, I really want to continue with my work in diabetes.
Oh, sure.
I'm going to go look under all the healthcare charities, the diabetes in particular, and they can then continue their work with that.
So, and feeling good about it, because you guys have done the legwork vetting these organizations. They're already certified, so we know that they hit certain standards, but then you guys are like, yeah, no, we're cool with them.
Right, exactly. It's, I mean, even if no one buys anything and supports it that way,
it still has.
You, if you learn about it and you just go on the site and you read about six different charities and their missions and you get inspired by one and volunteer, then that's awesome too. You know, we just want to get those important missions out there.
This is such a good idea.
Thank you.
How long ago did you guys decide to do this?
Really Johnny's idea.
Well, you're
when did it start in your brain?
Hey, let me tell you, without Jeff, this idea would never happen.
I know. Jeff is the driving force behind all good things in the world.
I really like you.
You definitely won him over.
Oh, gosh. So, so Close Talk. Effort. Okay. So Close Talk, it is COZ as in zebra, talk as in that's what I've been doing. .com. Jeff and Johnny Emmerman, who are the brain trust behind all of this, you can reach out to them and get your organization working with them to make. They're the people who make things better for those who make things better. So Hannah Stanley tonight, it has been my pleasure to get to be joined by Justin Kolovchuk of the Museum of Broadcast Communication and the Louder Than Words exhibit, which hopefully we're going to give more tickets away on Thursday when I'm back with you. David Plummer of Aerial Influence, and then the J. Emmerman Brothers.
You're awesome, Hannah.
Thank you for having us.
I'm so excited you guys got to come in, and you were happened to be down here at this crazy hour of the night. Hannah Stanley with you on WGN, and again, Steve and Johnny on Wednesday. There's other people Monday and Tuesday, too. But Steve and Johnny, I know for sure Wednesday, and I'll be back on Thursday.